So Andres, if we can, we had a small glitch with the recording there, but we're back now. So you were telling me earlier about your family and the great role your family played in helping you learn respect and social
competence
and things like this.
And what have you already covered?
Yes, we missed that about your family, basically. So,
well, I think relationships, human relationships, played a very big role in our family. And my mother used to be a nurse, my father used to be a teacher, and it was clear for us that for a profession, it would be only a profession that has to be to do with people. So just making money had a very low prestige in our family. So actually, in our family, life was here to help people, to bring an engagement for this world.
To and contribute.
Pardon?
To contribute.
Yes, yes. And to have time, or to have money, or to have some gifts, or some strength, is more also like a responsibility to use it.
Yeah.
And this was underlined when I by my Christian belief, which was again use your time, use your life, give it for something good. Don't want to keep your life for you, but really give it. And so my first big work, or extraordinary work, beneath, I was a schoolboy and went to the college and then be a student, was I founded the YMCA in that village we lived, where there was no YMCA. And at the end, after a couple of years, I gave it into other hands, but there was about 30 to 50 members. And I think building up such a group is not easy. I mean, you have to motivate people, you have to organize, you have to keep the boat in a certain direction. And that was important for me, to learn to fight, learn to build up something. And then I got to learn my wife. I got to learn to know my wife.
You were in medical college?
In the medical college,
yes.
And in the first weeks, actually, in the chemistry laboratory.
Really?
Yes. And in the middle of our studies, we married. We always lived on our own income. We never got subsidies from anywhere. And at the end of our studies, that was the beginning of the drug problematic in Europe. It was actually around 1970. We finished actually in February 1971. But in the years 68, 69, 70, we already took into our small students' home, or we took young girls with drug problematic. We were asked, do you know, probably, Well, I could give a young girl by a social worker or by a pioneer social worker in this drug problematic. And that was probably typical for us. We asked ourselves, do we know somebody? Do we know somebody? We didn't know anybody. But then we asked ourselves, why not me? And I think it's outstanding for young students, working students, to take up
heavy responsibility, in fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
And of course, this changed our life totally, because before we wanted to make a normal medical career with the aim to become doctors in the third world. Mm. And actually with Albert Schweitzer, at that time the still the big
role model.
Yeah. But then we actually saw this as an important challenge of the moment. Also, in the context of my Christian belief, I thought this is now our challenge. And actually, after our studies, we changed totally the direction of our life, and we had very good jobs as secured, and we gave them all up in order to get competent in this drug addiction problematic, and we found it. So second thing I found it was association which was called Alternative and we founded few institutions. One was 24 hours times 365 years a day is a year.
Full-time job.
You know, and it was very socialistic and very democratic, no hierarchy, and we partaged all the money. We that was also that time, you know, after the 68.
Right.
And then we founded the Ullenhof, which was actually a home for drug addicts, but without hierarchies, very special. It still exists today.
Really?
And the Alternative today has many, many different
branches, throughout Switzerland?
Is in around Zurich.
Around Zurich, yes.
Around Zurich. So this was actually the second thing I was really fighting for, you know, and looking for people, and we didn't pay any wages, but we had a fantastic team. Mm-hmm. Other institutions paid normal wages, and had also problems to recruit good people, and we said we cannot offer you anything, but I think we have got a fantastic team. And after about 3 years I left this and gave it into the hands of others. We had then our two first children, and we founded a new institution under the same roof of the Alternative, which was actually also a big living and working community, which was open for people like drinkers or handicapped or like this. And that's also when he looked for a house for this institution. The maximum were about 30 people, I think. He came into this valley here because we found a big house. And in this, during that time, I rethought of my life and of my profession and decided to go into the medical field again. And of course I had missed some of the important training elements. So I had to start my doctor's job very prudentially, very
carefully,
yes.
Yeah.
But it went quite okay. And so in 1975 or 76, I think, I started my family doctor's office. And at the same time, I was asked whether I would join the Socialist Party and whether I would join the politics. And as a matter of fact, I said okay, and I was then becoming for 12 years a member of the cantonal parliament here, and was with a very strong engagement, very active, yes, actually too active, you know. I was the typical young guy who said, well, now I am coming, now everything will change. I'm the one who knows how to do things.
Typical young guy with a lot of energy, wanting to change
things.
Yes,
and also with an overestimation of oneself. Yeah.
Hmm.
That is also part of life.
Yes.
That you have to learn this. And yes, I was so politics for about 12 years was very important for me.
You were still practicing as a doctor during that time?
Yeah, you know, the cantonal parliament, also by the way, even the national parliament in Switzerland, you still have your profession with you.
Right.
We have no professional parliament.
It's a unique system, I think. Yeah.
Huh?
It's a unique system, I think. In the
and of course, on the cantonal basis, it was probably about 30 working days a year which you were occupied.
Mm.
It was not nothing,
no.
But it is not a full profession.
Yes. In the meantime, bringing up a young family?
Yes, and then we got 4 children between 1972 and 1981. So,
okay.
So yes, we also had our family, young family, and you know, as a doctor, you have a lot of work, and I was in the parliament. I got more jobs, I will come back to that. But the Sundays and the holidays were always reserved for the family.
So like you, the lessons that your mother and father taught you, you carried on with your
yes,
children.
Yes, probably, yes. Yeah. Yes, my parents also were always very engaged, very busy, but on Sundays and during the holidays, the time was really
for the children,
for the family. Yes.
Yep.
And at the same time, or not exactly the same time, but in the same period, I was also asked to join Migros.
You know, that's Migros, the big supermarket chain here in
Switzerland. Yeah, which is actually a cooperative.
Yes.
It's not a share company. And, you know, as a socialist, I would not have been, at that time, I would not have joined the capitalistic company, but I was actually really giving my engagement also to Migros, and actually made a career within Migros. I am now president for many years already of the Migros Ostschweiz, which covers the east of Switzerland.
Mm.
And in the meantime, I was also 20 years member of the board of directors of Migros Switzerland. I was many years vice president. And that was also an important part for me, for my life. And, you know, at Migros, I learned very much about economy in many, many details. And also in strategy, business strategy. Because, you know, I was a doctor, there was no, well, economics play a role in a doctor's life, of course, also. And I also always made everything myself.
Yeah.
You know, the bookkeeping.
All the accounts and everything.
This was also always mine. But I think in Migros, I learned also very much, which was useful. 20 years afterwards,
yes,
or 30 years afterwards in Pressburg. And also in the politics, you know, politics is important to keep the equivalent between all the stakeholders.
Conflict resolution.
Yeah, and so I think also my political work at the end helped me for my big work Precious Foods. Yes, this was something else. There was an institution actually for alcohol addicts, which I was asked to help, which was totally outdated, which was financially totally on the ground. And in 15 years, I was the president of the institutions for 15 years. We renewed it totally, and that was really... And I didn't do it myself. I just did it as the head of a team.
A team of people.
But this is, I think, was also a very important experience for me to really to do, to get something on board, on track.
Yeah.
And make it new and in all aspects.
To turn it around from,
yeah,
from where it was going.
Yeah. Well, There's many, would be
many things.
Other things to talk about.
You've been busy doing lots of work with social organizations, and I mean,
yes,
building up lots of
motivating people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I never learned management in a management school or as a manager, but I think all the things together, politics, Migros, Mühlhof, that was this drinker's home, other things. I also founded a holiday resort and built it up. This was always all elements to teach me and to get me to learn how to do management actually, and also how to work with social competence.
And this eventually led to your involvement in Precious Wood.
Well, at the end it turned out to be good elements for this.
Good training.
But of course, this was never my aim. I mean, I am a man plenty of fantasy, but as a family doctor, I would never had the idea that I would become a tropical forester. I mean, this is really
the other
end of the world.
Yes. How did it come to be then?
Yeah, well, let's go back to that. There's probably three more elements. You know, as a hobby, already as a college student, I went to work at the post office during the night to gain our life. But when I could put aside a little bit of money, I always bought shares.
Right.
And I was buying shares and selling shares. As a sort of a hobby of mine.
Mm.
And I sometimes had bad feelings. Andres, don't you spend too much time for that? Because it was ideologically not fitting. So
the socialist.
The socialist and the Christian, you know. But, you know, afterwards, in Precious Woods, the shareholder relations was actually one of my most important tasks. So at the end, it turned out very well to have this 40 years experience.
Yes.
But at that time, I didn't know. Another element was I was told by my parents always to give part of the money to institutions, to the third world and so on. And actually we have an experience of 50 years of giving away money. But the important was not giving the money away, but you know, we also learned, we read what the institutions do.
Yes.
So I had 40, 50 years of experience of third world living, which was also an important element for me afterwards to have a sort of a transcultural competence and to develop a certain understanding.
A feeling for what can be done in those countries
and
to go about it. And
yes. I think this was also
important.
Quite important.
Development background for you.
Yeah. I have written down here also three elements which I never did. So I was never sporty. And as a boy, I rather any times played football, normal boys play football. Yes. I didn't. I was more working as teacher, scholar, but of course I always was the teacher. And I was never collecting anything.
No stamps or anything like that?
No. Well, like short faces, but I never developed really a hobby like collecting something.
Only shares, collecting shares later in life.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And we worked actually as tour leaders during our studies to gain our life. And I was traveling a lot in the context of Precious Woods, but for the rest, we did almost no tourism. I was never in New York in my life. I was never in the Caribbean.
You had a lot going on in your life back here, by the sounds of it. You had a lot happening in your life here.
But
it kept you busy.
This is also part of your profile.
Yes.
That you do something, but also the things you don't.
You don't do, yes.
Yeah. So actually, Precious Woods, how did I get to know Precious Woods? Well, Precious Woods was actually founded as a private investment in Costa Rica by a relatively rich man who wanted to invest money which he had because he had sold the banana plantation. And he hired Mr. Young to make an alternative idea, and he said, well, try it with three plantations. And it was very important that Roman Young, you know, at that time, still today, many do tree plantations. They invest some money, make a plantation in year X, and then they think, well, in 30 years I can do a harvest. And Roman Young said, this is not a good way to do it, because once in 30 years you have one short period of harvest. You cannot build up a selling organization. You cannot build up a wood processing operation. And also from the social point of view, during plantations you need a lot of workers. Then for maintenance you need almost nothing. And he said it would be much better to plant every year a certain amount, and in order to have a harvest, a permanent harvest afterwards. But then he saw that this would require much more money than this man wanted to invest, so they started to look for other shareholders. Now I think we should make a little break.
Pause.